pour something flammable in your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. Surprise, motherfuckers. It's a bonus episode because we got to get episodes in before episode 200 airs. But hey, my name is Lang. With me, this is Nathan.
Hello.
I know how much it throws you for a loop anytime I change the intro.
Hey, you know what? Like, I'm always just ready. Then I was like, what the fuck is this?
I know. I could hear like that intake of air on your side of the mic.
And then I was like,
what? No.
Well, and then I was just like, hey, if he's just going to do this, I'm just going to drink. So hopefully he doesn't throw it to me as I'm like mid swallow.
Well, that's the best time to throw it to you. What are you drinking?
Since
it's midweek, since we are doing a midweek podcast.
Yes, midweek podcast does mean nothing hard. So I've got Alley Cat Pumpkin Pie Spiced Ale and Asahi Black and a Guinness.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, I've got Edmonton, Japan, and Ireland covered.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's an eclectic. I get it.
I'll go ahead and just pardon myself again. I actually took a sick day today because I was like, nah, screw that work.
I'm close to the end of the year, and I haven't used all of them.
Yes, so I am drinking coffee and Bailey's again, as that seems to be the medicine for me lately. I can't wait till I can go back to scotch when my cat dies. Anyways. All right. So you are listening to Jaded Gamercast. We're going to skip this week in hobby because literally I don't think we did much of anything this week.
No,
so
you know what
other
it was?
Than prep projects.
Yes.
We will not talk about yet.
It's very true. oddly enough, I was actually like really excited because Terry went to derby practice tonight. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to get some stuff. And then I'm podcasting.
Well, I said, was it when I sent you the text message?
No, I actually remembered before that. Like I was prepping stuff like 30 minutes beforehand and I was like, oh shit. Oh, well, okay. I'll just put all this back.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you know what I will say for this week in hobby? There was a joke that I made last episode. Mm-hmm. About Otto Gerlach or whatever he was from
Autoglot,
yeah. where I called him Chet, which was a reference to a character from the movie Weird Science. Like Bill Paxton's mm-hmm. character from Weird Science at one point gets turned into a Nurgle-esque blob. Dude, mm-hmm. And I know I was like, Nathan won't get this.
No, I was going to say, first of all, I have never seen Weird Science.
Google Chet, and you will see what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, the other thing is, though, is right as you were making that joke, fucking Skype cut out, so all I get is, right? And I was like,
all right,
yes.
Then.
Yes. Weird Science Chet.
Yeah, Chet.
You're right.
There it is, right?
So good.
So anyways, apparently the actor who played Wyatt in that movie is a fan of the show. I won't say who it is, but you know, if you read the post, you'll figure out who it is. And that just made my day, because I watched that movie a ton as a kid.
Just out of nowhere, you just texted me. You're like, oh my god, it's the most... You were fangirling.
It just made my day.
Moment, and hey, that's totally fine. It happens to the best of us.
I haven't seen the movie in years, but I've seen that movie so many times. Anyways, yes, fangirl moment in there, so that was fine. So hey, yeah, J-List. Well, still J-List. We're still pretty damn J-List.
Total J-List.
Let's move on to the weekly listener poll, because this entire show will be model of the week. We're just going to be talking about models, what we like, what we don't like.
So much.
There's a lot of models right now, so that's what we're going to be going for. The question we had for you guys was, do you feel that Monster Hammer is a good thing? With an overwhelming 72%, you guys voted yes. We had 28% voted no. I think people tend to be seeing this the same way that we're seeing this. I think a few people kind of don't like the idea of there being too many big monsters on the table, but for the most part, people tend to enjoy it. Andrew said, as someone currently painting 100-odd human-sized infantry for a King of War army, I'm all for huge models. Plus, it might encourage people to play much larger games, which could be interesting. I don't necessarily think that we would see...
Yeah, I mean,
larger fantasy games because of it. I think that it makes smaller games more interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, fantasy is not 40K. I mean, remember when Apocalypse first launched, made money like gangbusters, and then they're like, well, why don't we test the waters with, like, can't even remember what they called it, but essentially Apocalypse for Fantasy, and they released it in a White Dwarf, and precisely zero people played it. Like, it just, you know, fantasy games already have that epic sense of style when you have rank upon rank upon rank of infantry, and you got all these big blocks moving around, you know, just deployed on the table. Not to mention the fact that, you know, as the game ratchets up and you get more units, you actually need a bigger, longer table. Otherwise, you can't maneuver shit. So it just, fantasy doesn't do that. So I agree with you. I think that it does make even just the average tournament size game more interesting with 50% lord, you know, lords and heroes. Not that any, I don't think anyone was just like, yeah, 50% heroes. But with 50% lords now being the norm, when you're playing a 2,400 point game, 2,425, you now have 1,200 points of lords. And I think that's where we're going to get to see it. Because, like, this is basically saying, I can take my kitted out level 4 wizard who tips the scales at, like, 380 points, but I also have this motherfucker here riding a dragon. Because, you know what? I had a monster in my rare choice anyway, so really, how many more points am I spending? All I'm doing is bumping it up into the lord, making it more of a nasty fucker, and it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's that combination, right, which is very intriguing. For the way that monsters and riders are going to be handled in the next edition. So Ian says yes because Tyranids. Adam says yes because euphemism. we had a couple other comments from people who genuinely like it. Matthew Penna wrote a very long breakdown of, you know, kind of what he thinks would be cool for the various types of characters on things. I'm not going to read through all of them here, but...
Well, I was going to say, most of that, I think, was his... Facebook post that he posted. Yes,
very similar to the
Facebook post. That kind of exploded with discussion, which was crazy, because I was just like, no, cannons totally work. And yeah, and then a ton of people jumped on that.
Yeah, so I'll just read the one bit here that I think is interesting. The big thing with monsters now is that we do have hard counters for them, and they no longer kill all the models in base contact, preventing attacks back at them. So do I think we need more monsters in Warhammer Fantasy Battles? Yes, please. But I also don't think it's going to return to the days of 7th edition and Star Dragon craziness, as they have toned down stuff quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, Double Dragon.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, you know, I agree with that there. I think there are a lot of counters for it. And there's more than enough stuff out there that's going to be able to deal with these types of things. Dragons, again, tend to be kind of the biggest and the baddest for the most part. But we have seen very interesting alternate options for dragons, like Stonehorns, like, you know, Glotkin, and all those different types of things that are all very interesting.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess that does beg the question, is if they are adding profiles together, is a hunter on a Stonehorn an auto-include for you with your ogres?
Well, I think it definitely becomes an interesting option, but because the hunter can't be my lord choice, it does mean that I still have to fit the butcher and... My whatever his name is, the Gut Lord. I still have to fit my Gut Lord in there as well. So, well, no, because I guess a hunter on a Stonehorn is still a hero choice, actually.
Yeah, it's a hero choice. So yeah, it's not probably. Even, it's not even needing it. Because, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, you're running a Stonehorn. So at that point, why would you not just take the best of both worlds, throw that guy on there, and just go fucking ham?
Toughness 8 cuts multiple wounds in half. I absolutely would take that, considering that he also comes stock. Standard with that sweet-ass javelin crossbow.
Yeah, the bolt thrower
thing, which is pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. Like, Tomb Prince on a Sphinx becomes very interesting. Old Blood on a Carnosaur, again, super, super interesting. Just the idea that any monster with a good amount of attacks is essentially doubling or tripling the effectiveness of any magic item that you're buying for those lord characters. So, well,
and I also think that it's really interesting because we're seeing the combination of armor saves as well. So all of those those no armor save monstrous mounts like Manticores and Griffins will actually come out and play. And I think that's really interesting. Because
you'll get the plus one for mounted and then whatever they have, right?
Yeah.
But it means that putting a character on a mount with no armor and then going and buying him the 2+ armor save magic armor means that, hey, you got a monster with a 2+ armor save running around the table.
Which is phenomenal.
Oh, it's super, super interesting. And like I said, I don't think it breaks them. I think it just makes them viable again. And because of the monsters that we've seen released over the past year, I mean, ever since the frickin' Arachnid, right?
Yeah, that Arachnid.
We've seen those things happening more and more and more, leaving behind anything else, to the point where now we're just like, well, yeah, but why wouldn't I want all of this? So
yeah,
yeah, very, very cool stuff. So I'll read one more thing here. Brian M says, I think this is a great step forward for the game, and despite what people think, not all that game breaking. Short of Nagash's ability to raise armies upon armies. But what they do, but what they need to do is offer a balance to all armies at the same time. As Matthew showed, it's easy enough to figure out how the stats are going to be worked out. So just release an FAQ and say, here's how you do it with your lore, combined stats, yada, yada, yada.
Games Workshop doesn't fact their games for the better.
No, go to hell. That's the biggest reason why we don't see more monsters taking these mounts right now.
They might sell an $18 data slate that's literally, add these two lines up, go ham. I mean, that's the Games Workshop approach to updating fantasy. But yeah, we will see it in 9th edition. I think when End Times Book 3 comes out, I have no idea what it's going to be. I think Dark Elves was said. But I mean, you know, we're going to see more of these combined monster character, combined stats. And honestly, at this point, this has me so excited for 9th edition that I'm just like, bring it on. Like, fuck yeah. Give me a 9th edition in January. Like, let's make it happen. Like, I am so excited about
and I agree,
what fantasy will look like.
I'm also super excited about this to the point where, excuse me, to the point where I want to play fantasy and I want to like have a good old gentleman's agreement with the person I'm playing with, going like, okay, so we're just combining stat lines and taking the better of the two, right? We combine attacks, we combine wounds, and then we just take the better of the two stats in every other situation, right? Yes.
And good. Then the armor save of the rider equals the armor save of the mount, and then go nuts.
Yeah. You know, plus one for being mounted, and then that's what the whole thing gets, right? Where again, you're just taking the better of the two.
Yep. And again, like for me, I'm just like, it's just so interesting. Cause even as I was telling you before about that high elf list, when I was like, you know, right when the Nagash book came out and there's like 50% Lord, I was like, hey, remember how you were like two Flamespire Phoenixes? So I was like, fuck that. Take one Anointed of Assyrian on a Flamespire Phoenix. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Now you're just like, fuck yeah. Combined monster profile. Yes.
Yeah.
100 times yes, I'll do that.
Well, and again, it also means that putting a wizard on a mount isn't an auto death. I mean, not going to have the armor save, but you have a shit ton more wounds.
I was going to say, I haven't seen a dragon mage in all of 8th edition because I'm just like, with my wood elves and even my demons before flamers got the nerf, I was like, yeah, one round of shooting, I should be able to snipe the wizard off the top.
Yeah, well, I would even put like a necromancer on a corpse cart, but I still had to like hide him behind like all these monsters and skeletons and stuff so that he wasn't constantly being destroyed. So yeah, that's very typical. All right, so thanks to everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll, which is kind of a bi-weekly listener poll at this point. you can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. So,
shall we start with less interesting and go to more interesting as the show goes on?
So, start with Tyranids and end with Planetfall?
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good. So,
what I was suggesting.
Let's start with the male scepter.
I will never call it anything else.
It is the male
scepter. For as long as I live.
That is exactly how you should read it. The word male, the word scepter. It's a male scepter. this model is not horrible, but the concept is so silly to me. Like, it's like, I got four brains. Okay, so you've got all this armored carapace, and we know that armored carapace can be over brains by zoanthropes. Like, we know it's fine. Yep. So, like, why is this just this brain exposed to open air?
The hive mind has never thought about the possibility of someone getting beside this bug. Because I mean, like, I totally get it. Great, we're taking the Starship Trooper's brain bug, removing its vagina face, which is a mistake. I'm just gonna say it.
Whoa.
I'm just saying the Starship Trooper's brain bug was better. That's where I'm getting at. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the exposed brain. Great, it's a psyker bug. You know, thanks. Could you have been more heavy? You know, heavy-handed with how it looks. When we actually look at the body, I'm not a huge fan of how elongated it is either. I mean, it looks like it started life as a Carnifex, and then they just, like, about bad bout of anorexia. You know, he's got that banging bod, though. I mean, you look how thin that waist is. I mean, seriously, I mean, like, shit. He has not eaten in, like, a month to get that trim.
That's right. You got to wear a carapace corset for, like, 2-3 years just to get all your innards to shove down to your crotch. Right. You know, I agree. I think it's a little bit too aggressive for what you would think to be like a brain bug.
Well, especially when the zoanthropes float above the ground, like right. the brain, they're using the psychic powers to do that. Like, I would have rather seen something along those lines, not something that's a pseudo monstrous creature as well.
And it has two scything talons, which means it probably doesn't have the dexterity to literally like open a can of tuna.
Yeah.
Because that's tyrannids.
Right. Absolutely. They need four arms to do what humans can do with two. You know, the other thing, like, honestly, I'm not digging the front legs. I almost wish that this was more like a rhinoceros or something like that, where its front legs match the look and the style of the back legs with the hooves. Instead, we have like it running on its rending claws.
Dude, a rhinoceros.
Right? Right? I mean, it's already got the horn on its head. Like, let's fucking make this happen.
Oh my, that's my new DJ name. I'm now
DJ Rhinoceros.
All right, so yeah,
do I have to change some copy?
No, then? You don't DJ have to. We'll stick with the existing name, because that's MC, not DJ. No, you know, like the model itself, I think is fine. All things considered, there's nothing terrible about it.
Well, and that's exactly it.
It's just a bit of a strange design.
It's completely mediocre. I you know, I can't see anyone looking at this model and just being blown away, but at the same time, I can't see anyone looking at it and just hating it. Like, it's just so mediocre that it just doesn't stand out at all.
I would have been much happier if it didn't have the scything talons. You know what I mean? Like, there's just all these little
things. Agreed. Because again, like, as a brain bug, I want short withered arms. I want, you know, psychic powers, keeping it aloft. Like, basically, if you're going to create a giant zoanthrope, why don't you model a giant zoanthrope?
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. So let's move on to the Toxicrean, otherwise known as the Cthulhufex.
Yes.
This one is dual kit, as far as anyone can see. I mean, you should be able to see that is, in fact, dual kit from the previous one.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
And you know that because you get a bunch.
98% of
yes. Fucking... So yes. Instead of brains, you've got toxin sacs. Yay. This one I like a lot better. I think it just looks, the profile is much better. Mm-hmm. It's reared up a bit.
Yep.
I think the, let's say the rape spears.
Which ones? The face rape spears or the arm?
No. That whole face section is for her pleasure. The other parts are not.
Touche.
I'm just saying, man. Some people got the skills and some people don't, all right?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Toxicreans are concerned about nooks and crannies, is all I'm trying to say. You've got it as a true coxman.
Yeah, listen, you know, at least
I think I broke you.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know what, I'm just gonna say it, you know, for those with gangbang fantasies that are scared of like more than one partner, this guy's got you covered. Like, he will fill you up. No, I agree. I think that the posing on this is much better. Honestly, I even feel like if you posed the male scepter more upright, more rigid, you know, even that model would look much better. I just think that the way that they've posed the body and all that works. I think the Cthulhu face is great. This guy's supposed to be the monstrous creature equivalent of a lictor, which is the dumbest idea ever thought of.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
I'm a super stealth bug who weighs 43 tons. No one hears me. But no, like I said, I love the Cthulhu face. I think that the rape explosion tentacles look great. I think that this is going to be the worst kit in the world to transport and game with. Because all damn tentacles are going to just fucking break and snap off the more you play with him. But yeah, otherwise, you know, he really is just kind of like the male Scepter, where you're just like, you know, he's better than the other one, but it's still not doing anything for me. Like, mm-hmm. this doesn't have the wow factor that the Trigon and Moloch kit did, or the Tyrannifex and Tervagon kit. Like, there are so many outstanding Tyranid dual kits that this one just leaves me underwhelmed. And I guess proves that Games Workshop is a victim of their own success by the fact that they've released so much better work that when they release a good quality kit, which is rightfully better than what any of their competitors are capable of,
mm-hmm.
we, the gaming community, are just like, yeah, but it's not as good as what you used to do for this same army. So, like I said, I'm really underwhelmed.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty underwhelming. But all in all, I think the kits are...
They're Games Workshop plastics. You know, you can see a fuckload of detail. They're going to go together beautifully. They're going to be like 100+ parts, you know, and it's all going to go seamless. There's going to be very few mold lines. Like, Games Workshop makes the best plastic models in the business. Mm-hmm. So as much as I pretty much hate their fucking games right now, you know, you can't ever take that away from them. So, you know, yeah, if this does something for you, great. You're probably going to pick it up and paint it. From all the rumors I've heard, the rules for both of them are fucking atrocious. So, you know, no one is buying them because they're auto win. So if you like it, you'll buy it. That's really all it comes down to.
All right, so let's move on to some leaked photos here. We got the Mukalid.
Yeah, let's start with them.
Mukalid spore clusters, 15 points. Very interesting there.
Yeah.
Two additional for 15 points apiece. It just doesn't look like a 15-point model, but hey, whatever.
Because it looks gigantic.
It's huge.
Well, apparently, if you squint hard enough, which I totally was before, these are basically anti-aircraft spore mines that can do vector strike attacks on flyers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is super cool, because when you consider the fact that, you know, 45 points and troops, notice the triangle.
Hey.
Troops.
It's about the thing you want to take in troops anymore.
For Tyranids, you are absolutely... Listen, every single Tyranid army I've ever seen ever is just like, you take 30 Termagants because it makes a Termagant troop, and you're done. That is your two troops. Mm-hmm. Go fuck yourself. So now you're just... Because you have those four empty slots of there is nothing else good... You'll just spam the shit out of Mukalid spore clusters. Because, I mean, honestly, why wouldn't you spend 90 or even 135 points and just litter the board with these anti-aircraft spore mines? Because that's still cheaper than one single crone, and it's going to be more effective.
No, for real. Like, you take two squads of three, 90 points, put them on the table, and then the whole rest of your army is just monstrous creatures. Why would you take anything else? Tyranids is the monstrous creature army anymore. They're not a horde army. What the hell's wrong with you? What are you, an idiot?
Yeah, they haven't been a horde forever. But let's talk about the models. Honestly, these I fucking love. Like,
I think they're pretty cool looking, yeah.
You know,
both pictures do it for me. They look hilarious.
Oh yeah, they totally do. I mean, they are blown up. They look monstrous creature size spore mines, you know, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So I'm just like, I'm a huge fan. I think they look great. You know, I think the rules are super interesting. You know, this...
Oh, is it come with Shrouded? Nice.
Oh, so they do Deep Strike, Shrouded. And Fearless. Nice. And Fearless. That's great. No, but I mean, like I said, the rules for them look really good. The points cost, you can't go wrong. And... Like I said, I love the model. So I guess it comes down to how much are they going to cost dollar-wise? Because knowing Games Workshop, a box of three of them will cost you $65. Because it's only 45 points.
Yeah, well... I think $45 is generous. I think it'll probably be closer to 60 for three. But they are really cool models. I love the design.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tentacles absolutely work. They look like just these... floating.
Yeah, well, because pods. when you see the size comparison, they are floating taller than a Hive Tyrant.
Yeah. Well, and I love how it just looks like the top of the pod just like burps open and then just mm-hmm. farts its gas up at flyers. I like that shit. I think that's
cool. Right?
Yes, I think that's pretty cool. So, all right. So now we've got the Sporocyst.
4-0 cyst. Really bad reflection glare, because this is an obvious Games Workshop leak.
Well, yes.
Photo where it's just like, make sure the flash renders all the words unreadable.
I mean, the guy taking it has to make sure that he takes these pictures quickly before anybody notices what's happening.
Right. From what the rumors I've heard, it's basically like a drop pod, deep strikes down, has a lot of guns, but also acts as like a synapse node. Could be completely wrong, just the rumors I've heard. So let's talk about the model. I think it's all right. I think that the other version of this model, because this is another dual kit, I think that the other version, which I'm just trying to get the name, what is that one?
I don't know. The only pictures I see are Sporocyst. Molecoid
Spore. The Tyrannocyte. It's the same kit, but it's here. I'll send you. Anyway, you talk. I'll send you this link.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I think it looks fine. It's a little silly in my mind. I don't know why they wouldn't just use like the spore cluster we all know and love. It's kind of a dumb thing to now just be like, hey, we're going to make this new thing, and here's what it looks like now. Haha.
Yeah.
The Tyrannocyte looks, I guess, slightly better, but it's still kind of dumb in my mind.
Yeah,
I don't like the way that it looks. The armor's dumb. The
Tyrannocyte, or the Sporocyst, one of the two, is the Tyranid drop pod, the one that was removed from the Codex for absolutely no reason. It looks like a Tyranid drop pod, and I think that that's fundamentally the problem with the modeling, is instead of trying to come up with something different or unique, you can clearly see it started life as a Space Marine drop pod. the lines are all there. The doors, instead of opening downwards, open from the bottom. See, that's
the DeLorean of drop pods.
Yes. Oh my God, it absolutely is.
We have to go back, Doc. We have to go back. Oh, listen. My God, the picture's fading, Marty.
I thought we were going to make a
Is Michael J. Fox a fan of the show? Because that would also blow my mind right now. If, like, two 80s like actors of movies that I loved just suddenly were just like, hey, by the way, love the show.
Right? That would be outstanding. But yeah, I mean, it's all right. I mean, honestly, I would like to see better than the shitty Games Workshop leak blurry photos before I really pass judgment on them, because from what I can see right now, they look okay. The mucolid spores look fucking great. And that's that. Like I said, I really want to see the 360s, so we should be able to get those this weekend.
Well, I mean, if one out of the three gets you excited and two out of the three are just unoffensive, right? Like none of them are, Baby Bjorns or the freaking Bebop trucks, like, you know, or goddamn...
Right, where you're just like corn, you know,
and tummy, those are garbage, right? Like,
oh yeah.
If you can walk away from it going, you know what? Like, these don't do anything for me, but they don't do anything against it. Like, I'm not angry because of them. They're just not great.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of a win.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I mean, you know, and even then, like a lot of the rumored rules for those mucolid spores, the Tyrannocyte, and the Sporocyst, they're all big gaping holes that the Tyranids needed in their army list. So, I mean, if that is the case and that, you know, the rules do, like the actual rules line up with the rumors, it actually has me a little bit excited about Tyranids. As I was telling you earlier this week, where I was just like, dear God, I feel like a heroin addict, like staring at a relapse, where I'm just like, I don't want to buy these models. Don't want to paint them up. I don't want to start playing games with my Tyranids again.
Well, that was what I said to you. I was like, okay, Nathan, first off, it's not your fault. Okay. It's not your fault. I'm here for you. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where, yeah, I totally get that because I've been there, you know, like with my Space Marines, Imperial Guard, Orcs, where I'm just like, man, I could go right back to it, but I just don't want to right now. But well, honestly, even from like on the outside looking in, there's some cool stuff there, and I totally get it. It's just,
And I mean, like, that's the thing, is like, it's really nothing against it, but it's just, for me, there are so many other things I'd rather be working on. I mean, being perfectly honest, I would rather start War Machine than go back to 40K right now.
Fantasy and
Firestorm. Well, but that's exactly it. Is I'm just like, I got a lot of Firestorm Armada projects on the go right now. Planetfall has me more excited than pretty much anything has of late. I just got new Chinese models for my Dystopian. So it's just like, there's so many things that I want to do, and getting sucked back into the 40K trap is not one of them.
You know, it's funny. And I mean, like, here, let's go back to this oldie but a goodie. It really comes down to that, like, genuine sense of, like, customizability and, like, personalization that 40K hasn't had in a really, really long time. Everything, like, every list is a cookie cutter now. And you always feel like, you know, we look at these books and we're just like, oh, yeah, I could totally play Dark Eldar. It doesn't feel like anything special to me, you know.
Well, and then the two of us will, without speaking to each other, make a list that is 85% identical.
Right.
You're like, really? Like, because is this what the game's turned into?
That really is what the game turned into. Because if we go play fantasy, like if you say, okay, hey, let's both build an empire list. Our empire lists are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same thing. It was the same thing.
Although I think we would both have Carl Franz Ascended.
We would both have Carl Franz Ascended at this point. But it was the same with vampire counts. It was the same with wood elves. It was the same with dwarves. You know, like we both had a very different idea of what would really make those armies interesting, what would make them fun. And there's none of that in 40K right now. That is the problem. That is the thing that kills it for me, is I don't feel like it's as fun as it used to be, not because of the rules or anything else, just because I feel like I'm just playing the army. I don't feel like I'm playing my army anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's a really good point. And yeah, I mean, even in fantasy, even if we go to fantasy, you know, you look at the two End Times books and they drastically change things. I can still play Tomb Kings. You can still play Vampire Counts, or we could play an Undead Legions. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I am still super pumped about that Glotkin book because it's just like, you know, I've wanted to, I don't know
if
I wanted
to do a piece. We didn't think we could learn to love again.
You know, and that's really what it is. And like, even when you look at that and you look at how much customization they're introducing into fantasy that still has limits and limitations, which is what's so good about it, it's really kind of refreshing for that game. And like you said, everyone's doing different things. Like you can walk through a tournament and all of the top tables, everyone's playing the same list.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's playing the same list. I mean, I was flipping through pictures of Onslaught and I basically saw an Eldar Wave Serpent Spam mirror match. And I was like, really? That looks like the worst fucking game in the world. Like, how unfun would it be?
Yep.
I turn my shields off to shoot them at you. I turn my shields off to shoot them at you. Are you going to move? Why would I move? I'm playing Eldar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give it time, I guess. Maybe we'll come back to it eventually. They'll release the next Space Marine book, and it'll be like, build your own chapter. Choose downfalls and...
Yeah, it'll go back to traits.
What? You don't take dreadnoughts? Guess what? You can only take one.
Oh, I love that. Oh, how abusable. All right, listen, just pick the two advantages you want, but I have to pick a major disadvantage. Don't worry about it. Pick the two you want, build your list, and then pick the one that does not apply to the list you built.
Exactly. All right, so that's it for the Tyranids. I think the Tyranids, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see that book in the next edition because it really wasn't that long ago that we saw the new Tyranids book.
Mm-hmm.
And having them kind of jump back to it this quickly does at least show that they kind of got that maybe they missed the mark a little bit. So, like I said, I think it'll be very interesting to see what in their mind was the big failure there. All right, so let's move on to Planetfall. Yes, the game that's not out yet, that we haven't played yet, that we haven't seen the rules for, but we are fucking excited for. We're going to talk about it some more. So if you don't know anything about Planetfall, I'll give you guys a quick breakdown because I did have a couple people ask me this over the last couple of weeks. Planetfall is a ground-based combat version of in the Firestorm Armada, right? So if you kind of think of this as being like a smaller scale Warhammer 40,000, you're probably not that far off. It's not quite as small as Epic.
No, it's basically Flames of War scale.
Yeah, it is Flames of War scale. Yeah. So it's kind of right in that range, right in between what you would expect to see for, you know, your standard tabletop game, but definitely built to be kind of larger battles on a smaller scale, which is very, very cool.
Well, and what I love about it is with the Flames of War scale, you have a lot of infantry. And I mean, as much as they're showing off the big sexy toys, and they are really sexy, they have promised that the game is still won and lost off your infantry. And I find that to be very, very fascinating, because this is the first place we're seeing Leviathans, which by the looks of the AutoCADs are going to be about the size of an Imperial Knight.
Yep.
You know, with fucking a scale of Flames of War. So it's just like massive, massive, massive war machines. You got, you know, everything from infantry, small vehicles, recon vehicles, flyers, everything in between. It looks interesting. It sounds interesting. I know you and I are both sold on all the models that we're seeing. So
all right,
let's talk about those.
They've recently released, and we've talked about the core army boxes. So now if you're interested in seeing what the Rathosa look like, Cerulean's, Terran's, Dindrenzi, they have all of those models up for you. They had the renders from before, but now they actually have some pictures of the resin casts. The only thing I did actually want to talk about of those boxes was the Rathosa. And the reason for that was the description that they give of the Rathosa.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm bringing that up because
is super, super cool, because what I said to you, Nathan, directly,
and it was that, correct, 100%. Yes,
the Rathosa are Tyranids done right. You get a shit ton of infantry, and they are a horde army in this huge, huge scale. The other boxes come with like four or maybe five infantry bases. You get 16 bases in here. And that's not to say that you are getting less tanks, because you still have a shit ton of armored walkers, bioorganic monstrous walkers, support walkers, and like the massive mega walker. Not to mention that on top of that, you also have these command and control spires that extend your psychic control and also drop a shit ton of troops from orbit.
Yeah.
I mean, these things look goddamn cool. And they have a full painted list on the page there, which just looks fucking awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, because I was pretty sure that I was sold on the list that I was going to do. It wasn't Rathosa. And then just reading this line right here, and to anyone that has listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you'll know how much this appeals to me. The Rathosa are the army for commanders who like to play with hordes. Because, I mean, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. They have 16 infantry bases, which means you know that they're garbage, but it's just pure weight of number. And I love the idea of just fucking hordes of spiders.
Okay,
like, I almost want to paint these up to look like, you know, normal spiders, like as close to real spiders as possible, and just send pics to Jason all day long.
So here's the funny thing, right? Like, you get six infantry bases with, like, the Terran Core Helix. And each infantry base has, like, looks like anywhere between three and four soldiers on it.
Mm-hmm.
These fucking Rathosa bases have, like, 10 spiders on each one.
Yep.
Like, it really, like, I don't know. Again, like I said, it just appeals to me. I really, really like it. So, yeah. Anyways, moving on from there, they have released some pictures of the newer, looks like variant kits that will be released, sold separately.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think what we're seeing is, because like you kind of saw it with that Terran Core Helix, where they're like, no, you've got your you know, two specialist tanks. They can either be shield bubbles or they can be anti-air, you know, swappable turrets. And it looks like similar to how the patrol fleet boxes were just like, nope, you got this. It can make this like one heavy cruiser. That's it. But the actual kits themselves had the abilities where it's like, no, but your cruiser box could make three heavies or three regulars or any combination thereof. I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing the essentially the patrol fleet. So the Core Helix box is on rails straight up. These are the models that you get. But when we get them released individually, that's where we're seeing the turret swaps and things like that.
Well, no, not necessarily. If you look at the actual Terran Core Helix box, it does come with the swappable options.
No. I know that, but when we look at the pictures, the new one that they just did, the Terran Alliance Heavy Mark II turret, that is clearly right. The same chassis as the Heavy.
Yes.
But instead of one big turret, it looks like it's got two Gatling turrets, which, right. again, looks cool as fuck. So that's what I mean.
Okay,
is,
yeah.
Like the patrol fleet, they say, you can do this, but in reality, the kit is designed to be swappable, and when sold separately, you could probably do whatever you want.
All right, speculation aside, let's talk about the models. Let's start with the Aquin Prime Tank Destroyer. Love the look of it. It's got a much yep. wider Stingray-style look to it, which is super cool. Looks like it's got some cool shield gear up front, as well as this pretty slick-looking mm-hmm. anti-tank laser. I love the idea of Aquins having anti-tanks with their whole, like, we have lasers that allow us to shoot around corners, are like crystal prisms.
Yeah,
totally. The idea that you could have these tank destroyers sitting, like, oh, you can't even see them and they're shooting your yep. tanks down. I think that's 100% just
outside of line of sight and ricocheting shots around. Like, presumably it's going to work like Eldar fire prisms mm-hmm. where it's just like you have to shoot it through another tank. You know, or they can just fucking bend around walls, which would be bananas. But yeah, I mean, like, you're absolutely right. I think that's what makes Aquin so interesting is the fact that they are probably going to be the glass cannon, where it's just like they're not going to be that tough, but because they don't have to actually have a line of sight on you to shoot you, is going to make them very difficult to play against. Mm.
So,
not to mention the fact that, again, this model looks great.
Oh, I think it looks super slick. I love the low profile. Mm-hmm. So we move on to the big release, the big one.
Do you want to talk about the two you want to talk about next?
Oh, no, Directorate we'll get to them.
Leviathan and Directorate Heavy Crawler with Mark II turret?
I'm going straight to Dendrenzi Battle Robots and Leviathan.
Okay, which one first? Oh, the Leviathan?
The Impetus Battle Robot. And then you actually, if you go a couple pictures ahead of that, you'll see the Leviathan, a couple of Leviathan variants.
Mm-hmm.
And then another version of the Impetus Battle Robot, where it has a what appears to be a storm shield and missile mm-hmm. pods. These things look amazing. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there who will look at these types of ground games and go, tanks, you know, infantry, yeah, whatever. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And like then you hit those
mech warrior mechs.
And then you hit the mechs and they're just like, okay, well, I'm sold. Who are the guys who can take mechs? I would like to play the mech army. Right? Like,
yes.
I know Jason will be playing Dendrenzi with mechs, and it will be mechs, yep. mechs, and more mechs, and he'll play the all mech list if he can.
Like, well, dude, like, what I love,
great.
He looks great, and what I love about it is those dual swords look like they will just fucking, like, flip tanks and just tear them apart.
Well, it looks like he'll also shred other mechs, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, like, that's the point. Is like, I don't think this guy has guns. And if you know anything about the Firestorm universe, the idea of a Dendrenzi anything not having guns is like, what's going on? But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, this is a great mech. It looks like it would be fast and agile. You know, it's got the swords that just flip shit. And then when you look at the side-by-side with him with the Leviathan, where he's got the big-ass fucking heavy shield in one hand, that's when you're just like, well, shit's getting real. I love the fact that we have multiple weapon options for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Leviathans that we get to see, we get to see the Kronos Close Quarter Leviathan, which
is crazy.
Straight up Pacific Rim.
Yeah, shoulder missile pods, fucking
Gypsy Danger over here.
Yeah, absolutely fucking Gypsy Day. Like, it's such a phenomenal looking model. And again, when you looked at the Iapetus Battle Robot, it looks big. Like, I imagine this is going to stand taller than most of the tanks and things like that. And the Leviathan just fucking dwarfs it. But whereas the Gypsy Danger variant of that Leviathan looks great for me, I just love the Hyperion with the yeah. dual rail cannon arms, because it just, that to me, it just, the profile there, it looks heavy. I mean, it's almost like, you know, Pacific Rim with like a broadside
yeah.
having a love child.
Like, it's like when we all watch Pacific Rim, and, you know, they're sitting there punching the whole time. And then all of a sudden he's just like, how about we use the sword? And the sword like one shots one of the kaiju. And you're just like, why were you punching? You like, had a sword this why didn't you whole start time. And you're telling me you never used the sword. You know, like it's one of those things where, yeah, you have to kind of giggle. I also do like the design of these where we have a lot of ball joints. The ball joints looks like it is going to give us a very wide range of posability, which is super, yes, super cool. So
absolutely.
All right. So outside of that, we've got the Cerulean Heavy Walker, the Mark II, which, yep, looks like it just has a bigger, big ass gun, which is super rad, as well, yep, as the Terran Heavy Mark II turret.
What I love about the Cerulean stuff is, you know, if you look at the overarching aesthetic of the Ceruleans, almost all of those big ass lizards are not hiding inside. Like this one has a gunner and he's like, I don't fucking care. Well, I've got a helmet on, guy.
Like, I love that the gunner is one of their like heavy infantry.
Yes.
It's not like one of their little infantry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, it's the big ass fucking assault lizard. And you're just like, yeah, I don't care. I love that look.
Well, they look carrier, like lizards, but they are not. Like they're walkers. They're fully mechanical.
100%.
Yeah.
And then that Terran one, like, to me, this one is what kind of sells me on the whole Terran Alliance as a faction. Because, I mean, we talked about how they're your typical, you know, sci-fi future race where everything just looks like a tank and it's very Halo-esque. And then I just see this turret on it and I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't even know what it does, but goddamn. Like, it looks so
cool. It's like it shoots things and I'm kind of okay with that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has this effect that Firestorm Armada has, where if somebody were to say to me, oh, you know, I've got this fleet, do you want it? My answer is always yes. Like there's not a single army here that I wouldn't take. But yeah, like this Terran one looks super, super cool. And I really, really do like the way that it looks. I love the idea that you can kind of hot swap turrets. I think that that's kind of a cool thing that they've added to this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about the one close to my heart.
Oh, you're going over that instead of the tank hunting Cerulean Walker or the Dendrenzi Skimmer with Mark II weapons?
The Dendrenzi Skimmer with Mark II weapons is not in this picture portfolio that I'm looking at right now.
If you're on the Spartan Games one, just hit their photos tab because it was released today.
I saw the one for today. I just hadn't gone to it.
Oh, okay. So the Dendrenzi Heavy Skimmer with Mark II weapon, you know, again, I'm loving the Dendrenzi aesthetic here because, I mean, like, even though this is a tank and it kind of skims across the ground, it still reminds me of the mechs and the walkers. And this tank embodies typical traditional Dendrenzi as we see in Firestorm Armada. It is a comically large rail cannon,
yeah,
on a fixed forward mount. And it's just like, yeah, and that's all it is. I will guarantee this vehicle, this skimmer, does not have any guns in any other facing because this is Dendrenzi.
Yes, exactly. Forward gun, bang, and that's the one. Yeah, the other Cerulean tank is the Tank Hunter, which definitely looks cool. Mm-hmm. I love how it just has like the gravity feeding missile the setup. I think it's pretty fucking fun.
Of like the 5-ton shells. Yes. You know, like I said, honestly, I feel
typical like Cerulean technology.
Right.
Can we make it a shotgun? No, it better be using like 80s level Nerf style technology.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, like what I'm enjoying so far about this game is when you look at every single faction, they've just nailed the aesthetic. They've hit it out of the park. And even when you're seeing all of the allied support helixes that they've shown so far, they're hitting it out of the park, whether that's the Hawker Allied Aerial, the Bakash Aerial, the Works Raptor, like it doesn't matter what it is. I feel like they are hitting it out of the park and yet they're still able to remain mostly true to the spaceships. Because, mm-hmm, like, obviously, spaceships, gravity's not an issue, so they can look however. But like I said, I love it. So let us finally talk about what's near and dear to your heart. Directorate.
All right, so the Directorate
first.
Heavy Crawler Mark II turret. I'm going to save for best for last.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. That's me coughing.
Oh, okay.
My voice is slowly starting to degrade as I'm talking for the last hour. But yeah, I don't know what it does. I can't even tell what it does by looking at it. Looks fucking sweet, though.
You know, and that's what it is. Like, you know, for me, the flying... Like
the other ones, you know exactly what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at those Director Walker, or the Dendrenzi Walkers, you know what they do. You look at the Cerulean ones, you know what they do. Here, I'm just like, does it cyber warfare? Is the thing on the front, like, a cloak?
The thing
like,
on the front it, is a cyber warfare. The other tank had that.
Oh, okay.
The other big heavy crawler had that cyber warfare bit on the front.
Interesting.
But, like, this... Who knows what this is? If this is like some anti-troop, like sonic, you know, cannon that just like flattens troops or something. But yeah, then it's got some anti-air turret on the back,
which is sure, I guess.
Right.
No, but I mean, like what I love about it is even with the Directorate, I feel like they're hitting it out of the park. And I mean, for I know you were really attracted to that flying saucer kind of rounded look. Never really did anything for me. Like, I really feel like of the six core races, Directorate is the one that I have the least desire to do because it just does nothing for me. But these, everything I've seen for Planetfall Directorate, I fucking love.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's all great.
Here's what I fucking love. The Directorate Wraith Leviathan HQ. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Directorate, get a helicarrier. Oh, that's man. Great. I'm so amped.
Do you have Iron Man to help fix the rotors should they, like, get shot up and not work?
How am I don't see any other option than to paint this whole army red and gold. That's all I feel right
because
now.
Because I just said that?
Well, partially. but also because their troops could totally come off as like various Mark Iron Man armor. Yeah. But yeah, they show you the top side looks super slick. It's got a couple of anti-air cannons on it.
I love the space in the middle. And I think Spartan does so this better than anyone in the industry. And that is allowing their models to have space in them. Like, you know, whether it's the fucking Hot Tub Time Machines of the Ryushi.
Right.
With that sort of frosted glass to show into the hangar bays, or even like I said, this Leviathan, and also notice how it says Leviathan HQ, which was not something that the Dendrenzi super mech said.
Oh, no, this is the Mobile Command Center. You know it.
Oh, I know.
The big space in the middle, I think, is super cool because in my wildest dreams, I get to picture them, like, dropping heavy tanks in, like, the best spots on the battlefield and shit 100%. Like that.
And, like, those fucking guns on the underside.
The underside guns look really, really cool. Mostly because, again, I have no idea what they do. Like, there's a couple that look like some sort of...
Three of them are different.
Yes. They look some sort of, like, guided missile laser defense system. And then, like, up front are what appears to be two flamers. Like, I don't know what the hell this shit does, but it looks amazing. And, yeah, like, when I saw this, I just absolutely fell in love. And I cannot wait to get this model. I mean, this... I have not been as excited to get my hands on models in a long time because they're showing is just getting better and better.
Oh yeah.
Better.
100%.
Like, and for, you for know, me. Spartan's track record for quality models is so good. Like, all their resins are amazing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We know that this is going to be a good quality resin. We know that the mold lines are going to be minuscule. You know, and it's just like, I just look at, all, you know, I look at these things and yeah, I just want to paint it. I want to put paint on these models. You know, and I think that's why I'm like, I don't care if you and I are the only two people that play this game. I mean, that was how Firestorm started in this province was you were just like, I like spaceships. Here's a spaceship game. And we both got in when Carriers were the newest and biggest release for them, where they're like,
Carriers and R&D.
Yep.
Yeah. It was just like, hey, here's some R&D and carriers. And we were like, damn, let's do this shit.
Yeah, right. But like I said, I'm just like, I look at these and I just like, I love the models. And I love the models for every faction. Like, they all just look so incredibly good and fun to play. And yeah, that Leviathan and those walkers just have me like looking at the Dendrenzi where you're like, you know, especially because they have drop pods.
Yeah.
With their 8 infantry of 3 guys per base. That's right, spiders,
that,
bitches.
That heavy infantry, son. That's how you do it, man. Those recon platoons. No, but
the fucking Ceruleans were, the 2 giant brute lizards per base. They have 4. And I'm like, man, Ralthosa, you're so right. Tyranid's done right. They need synaptic control. Hordes upon hordes of spiders. Like, everything. Like, I just, yeah. I can go through the list and I'm like, they all appeal to me because they all are so well done.
Yeah.
And typical Spartan Games post Firestorm Armada 2.2.0, everyone has a unique playstyle.
Well, this isn't
the mistake they made with Uncharted Seas and the made with original Firestorm.
Yeah. And I mean, like, they've come a long way as a company, and I think that this really shows that they have a much better idea of what their fans want, what their players want. Mm-hmm. And even if you first looked at Planetfall when it was just the Spartan Studios.
Yeah,
Terrence Dindrenzi, and it all was just very meh. There really wasn't much to it that got people excited. You know, mm-hmm. everyone else is like, where's the other core races? And it just never went anywhere. Like, the game didn't take off. There was nothing to it. And then they decided that, you know what, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's get all of these races in here. Let's really spread this out. Let's take mm-hmm. our cues from Firestorm 2.2.0. And, you know, like, I think they absolutely are hitting it out of the park right now. And I'm just amped for it. All right. So there you have it. Planetfall, there's some other stuff we didn't talk about. There's a whole bunch of pictures on their Spartan site on Facebook if you guys haven't seen it.
There like is also the Terran. The one with the Terran Leviathan?
Yeah, the Terran Leviathan. It looks just like a boss.
It's also a walker.
Yeah, mm-hmm, directorate mm-hmm. get unmanned drones, so I get to Obama the shit out of people.
And every time you attack, I will have to say thanks
Obama. the Hawker Industries and the Bakash Aerial Helixes both look super, super cool. I think the Bakash, actually.
I'm also really enjoying the boards that they're posing all their models on. Like, that's why, to me, I'm just like, mm-hmm. oh, you know what? I think that this game is going to be like most miniature game where just pack a board up. Pack it full of terrain.
Yeah, get enough scenery on there to really...
You know, because it's just like, I want to have buildings where you can hide a Leviathan. You know, because I just think, like, if you're doing City Fight where it's just like, well, I got the Leviathan at the end of this road, you walk onto the street, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm still super excited about these. The December 10th releases cannot come soon enough. And all the ones we just talked about were teased for next year. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be next year. I really do hope that Spartan continues with what they're doing, being, you know, because, like, when they released Firestorm, they hurried to release all of the revised ships and all of the different ones. We didn't get new ships per se, not until a few months in with the battle cruisers. But it's just like they really focused on fleshing out all of the core races. And then they just kind of trickled miscellaneous releases. And then when Dystopian got released, they did the same thing. Let's rebox and re-release all seven of our core races, and then we can focus on other games. So I really do hope that everything we're seeing here, we should have in our greedy, greedy mitts by, like, March. Like, I think that would be
likely
phenomenal.
I mean, at this point, our stuff should have shipped.
Here's hoping.
So hopefully we will be doing a review of this in the near future. But yeah. All right. So there we are. That's that. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you guys know, we are doing this episode in the middle of the week to catch up so that the release date that we teased at you guys for episode 200 is still correct. And yes, it is still, in fact, correct. November 10th is when that episode will be released.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you guys know how we will be releasing it, we will be releasing the audio as a podcast on our website, so you will be able to listen to it as you normally would. However, we will be releasing the episode as a full video. It will be one of those. It's not going to be a live cast or anything like that,
nope. But
we will be recording it. And we will be posting the live video of episode 200 for your enjoyment. So stay tuned for that. We have a couple other announcements that will come along with that as well that we are very excited about. And then, that's only a couple days away, Nathan.
Yes, I know. In 2 days' time, I'm driving up. Hey, something shiny, which I know is, you know, this may not be the place for it, but are we taking all of our children to Big Hero 6 Saturday afternoon?
That's a possibility.
Okay, good. Just so you know, keep it in mind.
That sounds like a plan. All right, cool. So, hey, while we're on something shiny, Doctor Who got shitty again.
Oh my God. No. No, it didn't. No, I don't. Wow, that is just...
No, you know, like, it just... there was like three episodes in a row where I was like, oh man, yeah, Doctor Who, it's back. And then we got another couple of episodes where it turned back into a sitcom.
You know, at this
and it just point, got really dumb. And then now that we're at the end of, I guess what this is, mid-season? I don't know.
All I know is Christmas is getting rid of Clara. I am going to wait and see what the show is like in a post-Clara Osborne. Not that I hate Clara.
She ruins the show. She is 100% the worst thing about the show right now. But the writing is also bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have a problem with Clara, typically. I mean, I thought that her with Matt Smith was very good. I don't think that she was the problem with the Capaldi episodes that I saw. Oh, God, there were so many problems. That's why I'm just, like, pinning it on her. It just ignores so many other factors of why the show is bad. But for me, you know, typically when you get a new doctor, it kind of takes them getting a new companion before it really takes off. I think why Matt Smith was able to start so quickly is episode one, Matt Smith, he also picked up Amy Pond. So it was just like, there was no problems there. Brand new companion, brand new doctor. I just think, yeah, like I said, I have no interest in watching any of this season beyond the like three episodes that I have watched. For me, I'm just going to wait and see when it comes back. Sometime well, good.
Then
next
I can Thursday. Then I can spoil what's happened so far this season for you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So
Moon Dragon Egg.
Spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it yet. You may want to turn it off at this point. All right. So here's what it is. Okay. So you remember the chick Missy who is in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then at one point I was telling you about how they hint at the fact that she's God.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Did they just say it where she's like, I'm God.
No.
Welcome to God. Heaven.
No. Here's what it is. She is a Time Lord.
Who a dead one.
Is madly, I guess, in love with the Doctor.
Well, because there is no one with two X chromosomes who does not want to jump that. Apparently. I mean, if you are a Doctor Who writer, the first thing you have to do is say, strong female character, her motivating factor is wanting to fuck the Doctor.
There you go.
What's number two? Who needs a number two? All she wants is to fuck the Doctor.
And what we thought was heaven actually turns out to be Time Lord technology called the Nether Sphere, which takes souls and then deletes them and then downloads them into Cybermen bodies because that's what we need.
Well, you know, because the Time Lords totally made the Cybermen, right?
There you go.
No, and they did. Then fuck you!
Then you get to the end of it.
Moffat!
And Moffat wrote this. And then you get to the end of it and the Doctor's running around screaming and Missy's just like, oh, blah, 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 doctor. And then she gets up and she's like up on his nuts. And he's like, who are you? And she's like, you know who I am. And you're like, oh, God.
You're not, bitch.
Please,
did she say that?
Please, no. The whole time you're just like, no, please, no. Don't do it. And she's like.
It's master, isn't it?
Yes.
So how come the Master can have a cool regeneration into a woman and we get an old white guy again?
How is he back from the time vortex?
Because the time war never happened.
They were just retconning that too?
Well, yes, they did retcon it. Because remember the whole, like,
oh, I know. Boss. But I mean, like, retconning the whole bit with the Master.
Well, he's
in retconned. The time vortex.
He has destroyed. Retconned everything else. What the fuck does he care about this? Listen, if anyone listens to this show and knows where Stephen Moffat lives, please just leave like a bag of human feces on the doorstep. Just don't do anything that's going to hurt him. Don't do anything illegal, but just make him very uncomfortable when he opens his door in the morning. Like, that's really all I'm asking for.
So, yeah, she's like, oh, my name's Missy, short for the mistress. So I couldn't necessarily call myself the master anymore. It's like, wait, why? Because you're a girl? Because you're a woman? Women, like, a woman can't be the master?
The number one motivating factor for a female character written by Stephen Moffat is wants to fuck the doctor.
But if the doctor regenerated into a woman, would he be called the nurse?
Yes.
Apparently.
Absolutely would be. And maybe that's why Stephen Moffat never did it, because he's just like, women aren't equals. They're not people. Mm-hmm. So I can't write one and still call it a doc.
No!
How can I pay that woman 70% of what I'm paying Peter Capaldi?
That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.